This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Friday, an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. And we're going to talk about everything from parallel parking to primarying Republican senators. We're going to talk about digging into, you know what, we're about to dig into this right now, the attempt on Donald Trump's life. Someone wants to discuss how I get dressed in the morning, all that and so much more coming up on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, let's dig into this. This guy says, Urchin Stomper, do you think the Donald will find out who is responsible for the attempt on his life? The corruption in this country is so deep, it will be impossible to clean up the mess. God bless you and your family. Hey, you didn't say I could say his name. He did request the bar, though. All right, so the attempt on Trump's life. Here's my concern. I'm concerned the government was involved. Yeah, I just said it. I have the same concern you do. If it's just some deranged commie kid, okay, that's one thing. It's bad, don't get me wrong, but that's one thing. In fact, if it's some deranged commie kid working in conjunction with a foreign country, that's one thing. And it's bad. You know, if he was working with Iran, and he may have been, working with China, working with to try to assassinate the Republican nominee for president, that's bad. It's bad. It's bad. However, all those things pale in comparison to the seriousness of it if it was the United States government trying to kill Donald Trump. Now, that brings us to some things that we know. Some startling things, if you suspect that may be the case. They cremated his body almost right away. That never happens. That never is done on a high-profile case like this. And you keep those things around for ages. We want to do an autopsy. We want to check this. Oh, we just found this. We better go check that. Oh, did he have this tattoo? They sent him right to the fryer immediately. He's ash. He can't be examined now. That never happens. They sprayed off the roof immediately. Now, I've only ever been a temporary cop. I was a cop for 6 months in the Marine Corps when they made me go be a cop for a little while. But even if I had never done that, and I came on a crime scene of some kind. Now, I'm a civilian. I'm not a cop. I don't know anything about being a cop. I'm not one of you detective types. If I walked into a crime scene, I wouldn't want to touch anything. This is me. Who doesn't know anything about it? I would know. I don't want to touch anything. I don't want to move anything. I don't want to put fingerprints somewhere. I don't want to move something around. I'm a moron, and I would know you don't touch things like that. You don't move things around. I certainly wouldn't go grab the Windex and start spraying down the windows and cleaning all the blood and brain matter off of it. I am a moron who knows nothing, and I know you don't touch the crime scene. They immediately sprayed it off. How can you even claim negligence for that? There is no claim you can make to explain spraying down the roof and cleaning off the crime scene of the guy who came 2 inches away from assassinating Donald Trump. And that brings us to the ATF agent. Again, this is a known thing, not an internet rumor. Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin told me this to my face. A man got on the roof. A man in a suit. A man kept telling the cops who were there. The cops were there taking pictures and video of the dead guy. His brains are blown out, the teeth, the blood, the everything. Cops are there gathering pictures. This man tells these cops, hey, all these pictures you're gathering, I want you to text them all to me. He gives them the cell phone. Well, all we knew initially was there was a man in a suit who wanted the cops to text him things. Senator Ron Johnson looked into it. That man is with the ATF. Ron Johnson reached out, not internet bomb throwing, just reached out and said, hey, buddy, I want you to come in so we can talk about that. You got all these pictures and videos and stuff like that. I want you to come in and talk about that. Boom. The guy clammed up and lawyered up immediately. Now, what's the explanation for that? If you're there in an official capacity with the ATF, let's say you're gathering crime scene photos or something like that, well, that's a very easy explanation. You don't need to lawyer up or anything like that. You go in and say, yeah, Senator, we're at the ATF. We're kind of working with the FBI, Secret Service. I'm figuring this out. I gathered up all the pictures because I've started a file. On that's a two-minute conversation. When you immediately call your lawyer and stonewall the United States Senate, well, that's a concern. And as you can probably tell, you know, I don't go crazy with rumor stuff and theory stuff. As you can probably tell, I suspect somebody in the government was involved. I do. I simply do. Just the level of reconnaissance that moron did, I am very suspicious. Now, to your question, do I think he will find out who's responsible? No, I don't. I think that he will direct his attorney general, Cash Patel, all of them. I think he will direct them all into a no-holds-bar investigation, wouldn't you? Somebody tried to blow your head off. I think he will tell them all bets are off. You go all in. I want to know everything. But just like we talked about, I think it was last night with the announcement that they're releasing the JFK files and the RFK files and the MLK files and things like that. Powerful people, they do not use the high-powered assassin to take out their opponent. He did 20 years in special forces, and now he can shoot a guy from 20 miles away. That's in the movies. In real life, when you want a powerful person taken out and you yourself are powerful, you find a patsy, a fall guy. You find somebody who will do the deed for you, somebody who's stupid, easy to manipulate, maybe on drugs. You find, I hate using this term, but you find a nobody. You get him to do the deed, and then you kill him. Or you know he'll die in the process of it. And when he dies, all roads leading back to you die with him. Why do you think Lee Harvey Oswald was gunned down by notorious Jewish gangster Jack Ruby? Why do you think Jack Ruby, after having been an enforcer for Meyer Lansky, after having run a Dallas area strip club, do you think he woke up that morning and was just full of patriotic fervor? And he loved his president. And I can't believe this Lee Harvey guy would do it. You know what? I'm going to grab me a 38 special and I'm going to go down there and do something about that. Do you think that the notorious gangster was just overwhelmed with patriotism in that moment? Or do you think he was tying up loose ends? Oh, come on. You're not naive. No, I'm not of the impression we will ever get to the bottom of these kinds of things. But maybe I'm wrong. Look, I don't know that. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there are enough breadcrumbs laying around. Maybe we can dig in. And look, maybe it was just that kid. You know, maybe it was just a kid who... You spend enough time online. The internet can be a wonderful and a very dangerous place. You can gather all manner of expertise online. There's a dark web place you can go. Now, I will admit, I'm really unfamiliar with the dark web. I've never been there. I don't even know how to log in. But from what I understand, what Chris and the nerds tell me is there's a dark web thing for anything you might want. And that's a frightening thing. So maybe the kid was just some internet nerd, lefty, radical, wanted to get famous out there, and he did enough recon, figured out what the best way to kill someone is, spend a little time at the range making sure you can make the shot, and maybe it comes down to just that. Hey, Commander of the Airwaves, Kelly, it's obvious who wears the pants in the Kelly household, and I commend you for that. My question is about the selection of pants and shirts. When you dress in the morning, are you a pants first or a shirt first dresser? Oh, I always put the pants on first. You don't put your... Women put their shirt on first. That's a woman. Yeah, Chris, you know that's what women do. They put their shirt on first because they still want you checking them out while they're getting ready. Everyone knows that's what women do. Me, I put just my jeans on first. Then I go strutting around the house. And whenever I see Ab, I'm like, hey, do you see anything you like? And then she normally doesn't have something nice to say after that. But anyway, we'll get back to the politics in a moment. Before we get to that, let's get to some relief factor. Let's get rid of that pain in your life. Stop rubbing your hands all the time. Your hand hurt? Stop moving your shoulder around because of that shoulder pain and start doing something about it. Rubbing it ain't fixing it. Stop masking it. Stop ignoring it. And stop abstaining from all the things you love in life. Do you still golf, play pickleball, go for a hike? What don't you do that you used to do? Let Relief Factor change your life. It's drug-free, 100% drug-free. You know how much I love that. It's natural. It's a natural supplement. You take it every single day. It uses a unique formula of natural ingredients that support your body's natural response to inflammation. Over a million people have already done it. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. You might just be pain-free in 3 weeks. Go. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Friday, reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. It's already been an outstanding freaking day.
I'll also be signing an executive order to begin the process of fundamentally reforming and overhauling FEMA, or maybe getting rid of FEMA. I think, frankly, FEMA is not good. I think when you have a problem like this, I think you want to go and whether it's a Democrat or Republican governor, you want to use your state to fix it and not waste time calling FEMA. And then FEMA gets here and they don't know the area. They've never been to the area and they want to give you rules that you've never heard about. They want to bring people that aren't as good as the people you already have. And FEMA's turned out to be a disaster.
Maybe we can get rid of FEMA. I'd be all on board for it. Remember that Haitian dude who said he's not going back to Haiti? Tom Homan talked about him.
Well, he's wrong. He's going back to Haiti. I tell him that.
Jesse, I live in Louisiana, and Bill Cassidy is up for re-election next year. I've started talking with people in my area to help put in work to push his challenger. Scott Pressler's early vote app is something we will be utilizing, so on and so forth. Well, listen. This is our challenge. Can we stay motivated, stay in the fight, and care about races where Trump isn't involved? Our challenge is a primary challenge now. The reason we are not moving as fast as we should be moving is all of us, myself included, have been negligent and lax when it comes to the primary process. We don't get involved, and when we do get involved, we vote for the same loser who's been in there. That must change. Because as we talked about, these are not leaders. Most of these people are not leaders. They're followers. They go whichever way the wind blows. Now, that's a negative. We would rather they be leaders. We would rather they see the right thing and do the right thing, come what may, because that's just how they see things. But that's not how they are. They're cowards. So we have to use their cowardice, and we use that by making sure they're afraid. Afraid for their position. right now, Lisa Murkowski, why'd she pull what she pulled yesterday? Why'd she announce that she's going to publicly vote? She's going to vote against the confirmation of Hegseth. She's not going to stop him. He's still going to get confirmed. Why would you do that? Donald Trump just won your state easily. Why would you do that? Let me tell you why she did that. She has no fear of the primary voter. None. She feels like the primary voter is weak, has short-term memory, stupid, lazy. She feels like next time there's a GOP primary, she's going to be able to spend $10, $15, $20 million in Alaska, saturate the airwaves with how MAGA she is, and the GOP primary voter who doesn't pay attention now won't know any better, and he'll run out and vote for her again. That's what she's banking on. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but that's why these senators constantly do the things they do, because up to this point, that is what has happened. Up to this point, they're used to doing whatever they want to do, and these six-year terms give them tons of freedom to do that. You know, you can screw up 3 or 4 years before you're up for re-election because, you know, as a senator, you're going to raise enough money to splash how brave you are all over the airwaves, and the people will forget how bad you screwed them when they needed you the most. And they have been right about that assumption for the longest time. For the longest time, it's been virtually impossible to primary out a GOP senator. I do not believe those days are going to last forever, though. I think the GOP primary voter is waking up, and I will continue to bullwhip him until he wakes up all the way. Jesse, we all know the king of not giving credit has the button of self-park in his midlife crisis vehicle. Great job taking credit when approached. But us longtime listeners know you will take credit for other people's work. Need the Kamala cackle. It's crazy how much envy can just take over people. Ever since you found out that I'm a superior parallel parker, I've been accused of lying. Don't roll your eyes, Chris. I've been accused of lying. I've been accused of using some kind of automatic system with the car that parks itself. And I'll be honest with you right now. Look, I'm bearing my soul here for you. My car, it does, in fact, have a self-park function. I don't use it. Did you know that? I used it one time when I first got it just to see if it would work, how it would work. And it works. It works perfectly. And I feel gross using it. And I decided right then and there, that's the last time I'll use it. I don't need it. It doesn't work as fast as I do. It doesn't have that artist's feel to it. It feels too mechanical to me. What, Chris? No, I do hate it, Chris. I'm not pretending to hate it. I do hate it. I don't want to park like a robot. I want to park like a magician. That's what I am, a magician. It's just like menu whispering. I feel my way. I don't know exactly which techniques I'm going to use when I'm pulling into this parking spot. I don't know whether I'm going to go in forward, or I really prefer to go in backward. That way I'm always ready for an exit. I learned that from the spy movies. Chris, why do you have to be immature? Okay, why do you have to be immature? Anyway, I don't know what technique I'm going to use. I need to feel my way like all great artists do. And that you're jealous of me? Saddens me, actually. All right. Why are we still getting taxed on overtime pay? Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth
and help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States.
Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah.
America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, a wonderful Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. If you miss a single minute of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes, or leave us a voicemail.
Well, Lady Bird Johnson and LBJ were a major stockholder in Bell Textron. Bell Textron made the helicopters for the Vietnam War. Was Kennedy going to pull us out of the war? Enough said. Follow the money trail.
I love JFK assassination theories. I love them. And I don't laugh at any of them. But I don't know. That could be. I don't know. But this is what the government and really a lot of evil people in power throughout history have never understood, which is wild because it's so very obvious. You need to maintain the connection between the government, governing body, whatever it is, and the citizens, the people themselves. The people themselves must feel connected to their government. You can't just break away from them and rule over them. Even all-powerful kings and pharaohs cannot survive in power if the people feel that there is no connection with them to their government. That is a fact. You can go read all the crazy things kings have done to try to appeal to the people. So they get that they need that connection. But what they never seem to understand is being open and honest creates more trust and a better connection. A better connection when you're open and honest. Now, the JFK assassination is just one example. We could use a million different things. But the JFK assassination, you have all these files. It looks bad. It looks weird. The grassy knoll, the mob, CIA, Cuba, the LBJ, no one knows. But you collect all these files and then you classify them and tell everybody, oh, we'll show you in like 50 years. That creates suspicion. That creates distrust. When you tell me I can't see what I should be allowed to see as an American citizen, that was my president who just got his freaking head blown off. I have every right to know what you know about that. And when you cover it up, all these agencies and whatnot, they think they're protecting themselves. Well, we have to protect, we'll make it about the CIA. We have to protect the CIA. No, you don't understand. The CIA is still part of the federal government. And if the federal government loses its connection with the people, then there's no more CIA because there's no more federal government because then your country's gone. What you have to do is maintain a trust with the people. Very hard to do when you're covering everything up. Jesse, didn't Trump promise not to tax overtime pay? Has this been ordered by Trump? Well, look, there are campaign promises. And then there's Congress and other things. A lot of the things these politicians, all of them do when they're on the campaign trail, is promise you that they're going to do this, that, and this, and that. But they don't necessarily have the power to do all that themselves. You want to change the tax laws of the country, you need Congress. Back to what we were talking about before. Everyone was MAGA this and MAGA that and Trump till we die. And so Trump gets elected overwhelmingly, but the GOP barely has a majority in the House of Representatives. And that small majority means that we will now need the biggest rhino of rhinos, all of them, to vote for whatever bill we pass. So allow me to remind you once again, this Congress, as it's currently constituted, is not really capable of passing a great law. Oh, you'll get some very basic stuff like Lake and Riley Act. That's the bare minimum. Deporting criminals. What am I supposed to congratulate you for that? You should be deporting everyone. But OK, glad you did it. But that's the very basic. That's the bare minimum. And that's all you're going to get. Don't expect some great law. The laws, the bills, the budgets, the appropriation stuff you're going to get from this Congress is going to be awful. I'm telling you right now, Jesse. The bribes, I mean earmarks, you mentioned on Monday for outgoing agencies, can they be reversed? How nice would it be for those people to lose favor with the companies they tried to enrich? some of that stuff can be reversed. He's talking about what I mentioned on Monday with Jennifer Granholm, outgoing energy secretary, manages to cobble together a whole bunch more cash that mysteriously is going to end up in the hands of her big donors from the state of Michigan, where she's from. And of course, they do this on their way out the door when they don't have any power anymore. The looting of the treasury. Can it be stopped now? Some can, some can't. Depends on where that process is. Trump today came out and he stopped a lot of the Inflation Reduction Act. He stopped a lot of those payments because it was all just one big payoff to Democrat donors. It didn't have anything to do with energy or inflation or anything else. They just passed a multi-trillion dollar bill and called it the Inflation Reduction Act. What a bunch of dishonest pieces of trash. Anyway, he stopped some of those, but you're not going to get the ones back that already got sent out. Hey, Jesse, my name's John. I wanted to begrudgingly say congrats to your Buckeyes on winning the national championship. However, we can't ignore the fact that there is a massive asterisk on this season, and that is Michigan. We own you. Ha, ha, ha. I love the show. Keep doing what you're doing, brother. That's the brutal thing about losing to your rival. We've lost to Michigan a few years in a row. Here you are. You're national champion. And don't get me wrong. You'd rather be national champion than beat your rival. But still, your rival still has that over you, especially if they've cobbled together a few of them in a row. And they do most definitely have some bragging rights. Gosh, I hate it. Dr. Menu Oracle. Anyway, settle a debate for me. What's your opinion on Sloppy Joe? And no, I'm not referring to the president. Sloppy Joe, well, here's the deal. We had Manwich when I was a kid. You ever have Manwich? Have you heard? I don't even know if it still exists. It was the Sloppy Joe in a can. It does, Chris? It does? That's all we ever had when I was a kid. And so that was really my impression of Sloppy Joe. Sloppy Joe, for me, traditional Sloppy Joe, is a little too ketchupy. I don't like sweet meats. I like salty meats, spicy meats. Chris, why don't you grow up? Can I get through a conversation talking about... I didn't say it at all. I don't like teriyaki wings or barbecue wings with barbecue sauce on them. They're fine. It's not like I'm grossed out. Too sweet for me. Too sweet. I'd much rather have some sort of a dry rub or even a buffalo sauce, even though that can get too sweet. But traditional Sloppy Joe, at least the Manwich we had when I was a kid, was usually too ketchupy. Ob has started making Sloppy Joe at home in the slow cooker, and she's taken most of that ketchup out of it. So ours is browner instead of redder. If you looked at it, it would look more like a, I don't even want to say a chili. I don't know, browner. More the color of refried beans than anything else. Browner Sloppy Joe. I buy wieners. The ballpark bun size. All beef, Chris, so you people can eat them. The all beef wieners. Whenever she makes Sloppy Joe, I don't have Sloppy Joe. I throw ballpark wiener, cheese, some kind of shredded cheese of some kind if we have some in the fridge. And then I dump that Sloppy Joe over it. It's like a chili dog, but more of a Sloppy Joe dog. It would be unfair to call that chili, although it's pretty much the same friggin' thing. That's how I prefer Sloppy Joe. I like Sloppy Joe. It's just that traditional Sloppy Joe is way, way, way too ketchupy for me. It's like my thoughts on meatloaf. Everyone yells at me because I hate meatloaf. Meatloaf was always too ketchupy for me. Now, maybe that's just because my mom can't cook to save her life, but I don't know. I can't say what, Chris. She can't. She got it, honestly. Her mom couldn't cook either. Whenever we were going to grandma's house, we would stop at McDonald's on the way, and we would stuff our faces because we knew she'd be serving some kind of god-awful stringy pork roast or something like that. And every time, she had to catch on at some point. Every time we'd be all, oh, is it dinner time? Oh, I wish we'd known. We already ate. Dang, that's too bad. Anyway, do you want a good employer? How about a good employee? You know ZipRecruiter's there for you. Are you one of these employers who's beating your head against the wall every day because you can't find that guy you need, that office manager you need, that accountant you need, that superintendent you need? They're all on ZipRecruiter waiting for you. And you get results instantly with ZipRecruiter. It's not like you would log in right now, ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. try it for free, you start your account, and then you just kind of sit around. Well, hopefully in a week, immediately, you will see matches. Stop this old way of thinking where you've got to put a sign on the door and a classified in the newspaper. ZipRecruiter is the hiring site employers prefer the most for a reason. It's where the good employees are. Go win. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're going to love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on what has been a magnificent Friday, a magnificent week. Jewish producer Chris just said that it feels like so much has happened this week, like more than the last year of the Biden presidency. Yeah, that's what happens when you have people who actually care about the country. That's what happens. But granted, it is an embarrassment of riches for Trump because they left such a gigantic pile of dog crap to clean up that virtually anywhere you shovel, you're going to pick up something. There's a lot to do. We'll keep digging in. Jesse, it's been 3 years since we lost Bailey, our 14-year-old lovable knucklehead golden doodle. My wife of 36 years has said no more dogs because of her sadness of losing him. I have always had a dog. Yes, it is sad to lose a canine friend, a part of the family. I can't help but think of the happiness and pure joy of moving on to another man's best friend like Fred. What to do? Here's how we handled it when I was a kid. We always had a dog. When I was growing up, we always had a dog. And when our dogs died, for whatever reason they died, you know, got hit by a car. You remember my one dog got poisoned. Pets die. Dogs die on you. Rarely was there a one-day lag in the Kelly household before we went out and snatched up another dog. I'm not saying it's the right thing to do, but I will say, like, the day Jake, our black lab, got poisoned by our dirtball neighbor, and he died. That day, my dad didn't deal with tears all that well. He wasn't exactly the cuddliest person in the world, but he cared. He just didn't know how to show it necessarily. And if he walked in and everyone was sad, and he walked in that day and everyone was crying, everyone was sad. I'm crying. My sister Mickey's crying. My mom's crying. Everyone's crying. We love Jake. Jake's gone. Well, my old man doesn't know what to do, but try to fix it, right? So immediately it was, get in the car. Everybody get in the car. Let's go. And so for him, that was how he loved. We got in the car, drove right down to a kennel, and got a new puppy. And we were still sad about Jake that night. But our next dog, Hank, was his name. We actually named him after my grandpa. Our next dog, Hank, look, you spent enough time cuddling with the puppy, you forget about the last one. So I don't know what to tell you, because Fred has so taken ownership of the hearts of this family and really the entire neighborhood and my mom and everybody else. Fred just owns everybody. I don't know what we're going to do when he goes. I have no idea, but I know my wife's going to be a wreck and my kids are going to be a wreck. I won't care. I'll be fine. But I'll be fine, but they'll be upset. Jesse, if the 24 blue states are successful in harboring their illegals, soon they'll be begging for billions from Congress. Hopefully we will not give them any. Well, this is why we have to do, as indelicate as it may be, we have to do what Trump did today, where if you're one of these blue places that has destroyed your own place on purpose, you don't get to go begging now for federal taxpayer dollars without conditions. Trump was talking about California today. Oh, we need all this money. We need billions of dollars. And Trump said, well, okay.
So I want two things. I want voter ID for the people of California. They all want it. Right now, you don't have voter ID. People want to have voter identification. You want to have proof of citizenship. Ideally, you have one-day voting. But I just want voter ID as a start, and I want the water to be released, and they're going to get a lot of help from the U.S. Thank you very much. I'll see you in a little while.
You can't allow these blue states to destroy their people, destroy their state, bankrupt the treasury, and then turn and hand them my money and your money whenever something goes wrong. You can't just allow them to get away with that. These cities and states that get taxpayer money, the politicians in these states, they use that money to get reelected. They find a way to hand that money out to their friends and their campaign donors and this and that. And very little of it ever gets to the people because they don't give a crap about the people. Hey, Jesse, based on some of the things I've heard you say on the air, I think we're pretty close to each other. On Tuesday, you mentioned sending Corey on a cheesesteak run. Where is the good cheesesteak place you sent him to? I'm glad you found a useful thing for him to do. I'm sure it's not like he's crushing it in the studio. That's true. His name was Steven. Fat Shack is the name of this place. And I think it's run by a bunch of stoners. We laugh every time. Me, Chris, and Corey, when we look at the menu, we laugh every time. Don't they have like a fat doobie or something like that? Oh my gosh, Corey's holding up. They gave us a bumper sticker with the order that Corey went and picked up. I kid you not, that said, I love fat doobies. So this place is delicious. Cheese sticks and cheese steaks, and they double fry their fries. And they have all these sandwiches that have like cheese. They'll have a sandwich, and I'm making this up, but it's not really wrong. They'll have a sandwich with a bunch of chicken strips on it, and then French fries on it, and then mozzarella cheese sticks on it, and then they'll drown it in ranch, and you know they have. I think it's a lot of stoners, but the thing about our stoner friends is they know how to eat. Stoners know how to eat, and this place is pretty friggin' good. I'll tell you that much. All right, Jesse. Yesterday, I had dinner from your favorite restaurant, Red Lobster. I had the salmon dish with Brussels sprouts. Clay and Buck were talking about. I have to say that was probably the best thing about the meal. Have you tried them? No, I haven't. I haven't tried the Brussels sprouts at Red Lobster because I'm not a disgusting caveman who pretends that Brussels sprouts are anything other than disgusting. Stop trying to sell Brussels sprouts to the masses. I don't care how many times Clay gets on the air and says, I love the Brussels sprouts. I'm a big fan. Sure, go set a plate of cheese sticks in front of everyone and a plate of Brussels sprouts and see which one goes away first. You, put your phone down. Go enjoy your weekend. Celebrate. It's been a wonderful week, and we'll have a wonderful next week, too, all right? That's all.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.